From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series in the Doctrine of the Holy Spirit, bringing the next portion of a message entitled The Earnest of the Spirit. The text is Ephesians 1, verse 14, where the Apostle Paul speaks of the Holy Spirit as the earnest of our inheritance. In his introduction to the message, Dr. Cairns draws from the first three chapters of Ephesians, which describe the Christian's wealth, or what the believer has in Christ. In doing so, he is defining the term earnest as it applies to the Holy Spirit's relationship in the Christian's life. This word speaks of the Christian's partial entrance into this great wealth, of which the Holy Spirit is the chief part. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, he takes a few minutes to speak about the power of sin, a solemn truth with which he deals in his booklet called A New Beginning.
We hear a lot about global problems. Every problem seems to take on global aspects in this age of instant communication. There's global warming, either problem or scam, according to which expert you listen to. There's worldwide economic trouble, depression, need, poverty. There are health problems. There are great things that challenge the lives of millions. Millions have died of AIDS, and we're told millions more will die of AIDS. We hear about the resurgence of tuberculosis and diseases that we felt were defeated long ago, and the great problems that they are now presenting on a worldwide scale. So, sure enough, the world seems to be in trouble. The problems are diverse. But you know, at the bottom of it all, there is one ultimate reason. The cause, maybe simply put, it is sin. That's where it all began. We are told in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. All the dying in the world is the result of the entrance of sin. All the associated problems, all the wars, all the bloodshed, all the disease, all the result of sin. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying what some charismatic crackpot preachers will say to you, that every disease, every sickness you have is the direct result of some sin that you have committed. That is just not so. The Lord Jesus said it wasn't so when his disciples asked him concerning the man who was born blind. Was it because of his own sin or the sin of his parents? The Lord Jesus said neither. In other words, it is just not true that every sickness is the result of some immediate sin. But ultimately, all these things entered into the world by the entrance of sin. Now, there's an even bigger problem. Thus far, we've been talking about problems of body, problems that affect people in this world and nations and their economies and all the rest of it. But there's an even bigger problem. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, that your sins have separated between you and your God. They've hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. Sin has separated man from God. Sin is the ultimate problem. The power, the prevalence of sin is absolutely alarming. And it is destructive in every way. It is destructive even to bringing men and women down to an everlasting punishment in separation from their God. But thank God there is a solution. The Bible tells us that Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, you would think that would be the greatest news that you could give to sinners. It is the greatest news you can give to sinners. And yet, why is it that so many sinners treat it as an intrusion into their liberty, a denial even of their liberty, to come and tell them that there's an answer to their sin? The trouble is, you see, that while people hate the results of sin, sinners love sin. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The power of sin is great, it is prevalent, it is destructive. As I've said, people don't like its results. They don't like affliction, suffering, and trouble. They don't like that. But at the same time, they love the sin that causes it. And that's why so many people reject the very answer that God has provided for the greatest problem of the world today. Now, I can't solve the problems of the world. I can't even solve your problems. But I can tell you, Jesus Christ can meet you today, and he can deal with your sin, and especially the immediate result. It's not to say you'll be delivered from every bodily affliction. It's not to say that you will have release from every bodily sickness. The redemption of the body awaits the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what it does say is that he will destroy your alienation from God. He will reconcile you to God. He will forgive you your sins. He will remove the guilt. He will justify you freely, bring you into acceptance with God, give you life now that's worth living, give you the power to face death in the victory of the cross and the empty tomb of Christ, and bring you everlastingly to glory. Jesus Christ has the power to break the power of your sin today.
Beneath the cross of Jesus,
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you've written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. Remember that any literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or, why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Of warring a good warfare and overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil, the secret again is to know the wealth that you have in Christ. So this is where Paul starts in Ephesians, dealing with our wealth in Jesus. And in the words of our text, he deals with that wealth again. Now he uses a word in verse 14 that is vitally connected with our understanding of spiritual wealth. He says the Spirit of God is the earnest of our inheritance. The earnest of our inheritance. Now that's a word with great significance. This is a word that has come over from the Old Testament. Now if you want to find it in the Old Testament, turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 38. Now this is one of the most dark, terrible passages in the history of Judah the son of Jacob. Judah had a daughter-in-law whose husband had been slain by the Lord. That's strange language nowadays, isn't it? Yes, he had been slain by the Lord. He did not die a natural death. He did not die because he had ill health. He did not die at the point of somebody else's sword or spear. He died because the Lord slew him for his wickedness. There is a sin unto death. Woe to the man's soul when God slays his body. Well, God slew this man, and according to the ancient law, since there were no children, she was promised that she would get the next son as a husband. And he had a long way to go before he got tied up in marriage. He would have made a good member of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, I can tell you, but he was taking a long time before he got to the altar. When the time came, she was overlooked. And she did a very terrible thing. She dressed as a harlot, and she sat in a way that she knew her father-in-law would be going, and he fell into the trap. And as a payment for her sin, not knowing who she was, he said he would send her a kid of the goats, or a kid out of the flock. Now, the story itself ceases to interest us as a story anymore at that point. I just want to get you to what he had promised to do, to give a kid. Verse 17, I will give thee a kid of the flock. Now she says, wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? He said, what pledge will I give thee? She said, thy signet, thy bracelets, and thy staff. Verse 20, Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend the Adullamite to receive his pledge from the woman's hand. Now that is the word that is taken over into the Greek New Testament. It's not really translated, it's what we call transliterated. Just taken just about word for word, or letter for letter. This is the word that Paul is using here. In fact, if you read many modern translations of the Bible, I hope you don't, mind you, but if you do, you'll find that most of them do away with the word earnest and they put in the word pledge. The Holy Spirit is the pledge of our inheritance. And at first sight it would appear that that was an improvement on the Authorized Version. At first sight. But it's a mistake. Because while the words sound the same in the New Testament, it is a very special kind of pledge. And it is an earnest. Now, what's the difference between an earnest and a pledge? Well, let me give you an example from the portion we have read, and then I'll give you an example from modern life. Right. Judah owed a kid of the flocks. He gave a pledge. What was his pledge? His pledge was his signet, his bracelet, his staff. And when the kid of the flocks would be brought along and paid, he expected to redeem his pledge and take it back. In modern life, say you contract a bargain. Say, for instance, you're going to purchase a van or a car or something like that. And it's not ready for delivery today, but you're coming back in a month's time, or maybe you're going to be out of the country for a month or something. You say, I want that car. Right. It's going to cost $10,000. There is a $1,000 deposit. That's an earnest. When you come to pay the rest, you do not receive the $1,000 back. It is part of the payment. It is the first payment, the down payment, the deposit, the earnest that promises that the rest is coming. The difference then between a pledge and an earnest is very, very simple. But nonetheless, it is very far reaching. Now here in our text, the Holy Spirit is not just the pledge, He is a pledge. But He is that special kind of pledge who is the down payment, the deposit, the first part of the entire payment. He is the earnest of our inheritance. And I want us to think of Him as such for a minute or two this morning. As we think of the earnest of our inheritance, there are just three very, very simple things that this word teaches us about the Christian's great wealth. First of all, when I think of the earnest, it speaks of the Christian's partial entrance into his great wealth. The earnest is just part payment, the first payment. Now let's just let that sink in for a minute. When God saves a man, when God gives him the Holy Spirit in his heart, He puts that man into a real, though partial, enjoyment of his inheritance in Christ. In Romans 8:23 we read the Spirit being called the first fruits of our inheritance. He's the first fruits. That word actually translates two Old Testament Hebrew words. One of them speaks of the chief or principal part, and the other speaks simply of the first right of the crop. The Holy Spirit is the first fruit. Yes, we are immediately heirs of God as soon as we're saved. Let me tell you, this is the great thing about God's salvation. In false religion, you have to wait until you're dead to become a saint. You have ludicrous examples of this. For centuries, people across the world carried a little St. Christopher in their car, on their motorcycle, on their bicycle. I remember we used to have little bells. I wondered what this thing was on the top. I didn't realize I'd been sold a heathen emblem. And when you're going along on your bicycle, you didn't have klaxons or hooters or horns. You had this little bell. And on the top of it, I well remember, was this thing. And when I found out and looked through the Latin inscription, can you imagine the Latin on a child's bicycle bell? Well, when I got through that and proved that going to school wasn't altogether in vain, I found that it was St. Christopher. He was in the handlebars of my bicycle to make sure that if I hit the truck would come off worse. You see, he's the patron saint of all travelers. He was declared by the Pope of Rome to be a saint. So everybody knew he was a saint. That's until about 20 years ago. And then they discovered that St. Christopher not only wasn't a saint, but St. Christopher never even existed. So they had to drop him off the calendar. And there are a few others like St. Philomena and others like that. And 1,000 years after you're dead, they'll declare you a saint. You know, that's false religion. As soon as a man gets saved, God declares him a saint. As soon as he gets saved. You don't have to wait until after you're dead to enter into the inheritance of the saints of God. You enter in at least partially as soon as you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the pledge. He puts us into the first enjoyment of this. But considered as a pledge, He's the chief part of that inheritance. You know, I got to think about this, and it really is an amazing thing. If you were to ask most Christians, what's the best thing about being saved? They would say, going to heaven. But they're wrong. They're wrong. Could I say very reverently, that's the easiest part for God to do. That's the simplest part. After all, when a man has been regenerated, when a man has been justified, when a man has been vitally united to Christ, Surely it should be a simple matter then for God to bring him to heaven. But to take a man that's dead in sin and give him spiritual life, to take a man that's guilty before God and give him justification, to take a man that's joined to idols and unite him to Jesus Christ, that's the biggest part of the miracle of salvation. And I tell you this, when God gives you the Holy Spirit, God has already given you the chiefest part of the entire inheritance of God. He's given you the best part. Oh, I know that we're not yet in heaven. But just think of this. We have the Holy Ghost. We have life. We are rightly related to God. Now, heaven itself cannot essentially be any better than that. You can't have more than God. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have God dwelling within you. When you have life, you are vitally, personally united to Christ. You can't essentially have anything better than that. When you think of this as a pledge, the Holy Spirit is the chief part of our inheritance.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.